The United States has taken a new leadership role on the Arctic Council, a group that advises the governments of countries with territory in the region. Canada was the last chair. It had promoted economic development. The U.S. is expected to focus more on climate change. Michael Byers is professor of global politics at the University of British Columbia and author of the book International Law and the Arctic. He joins us from Salt Spring Island in Canada. Professor, welcome. And what does the Arctic Council do exactly?
Well, the Arctic Council was established 2 decades ago to promote cooperation on scientific and environmental matters, and essentially to establish stronger links between Russia and Western countries like the United States. The Arctic was seen as a place where cooperation was easily possible and therefore a good place to start in building stronger relations.
But since then, as some ice has melted especially, it has become more of an economic opportunity for many of these countries.
Well, yes, climate change is more advanced in the Arctic than anywhere else on Earth. And with climate change comes the melting of sea ice and improved accessibility to shipping routes and natural resources. So there is an economic dimension to the activities of Arctic nations. But also there is a collective realization that climate change is very serious and that something has to be done.
Well, and what can the Arctic Council do on that front?
Well, the first thing they can do is to address some of the contributions to climate change that come from Arctic regions. And one of these is called black carbon. Black carbon is produced, for instance, through the use of diesel engines. Diesel generators power many Arctic communities. It's produced through burning of bunker fuel by ships that are transiting Arctic waters. And the Arctic Council is working together to agree on measures to stop the production of black carbon, essentially by putting scrubbers on the different emission stacks of these different engines and vehicles. And it's important to realize the countries at the table. Russia, Canada, Norway, these are major oil and gas exporting countries. These are countries that have quite substantial carbon footprints. And yet they were able to agree within the Arctic Council to show collective leadership at the international level. And that's because they see climate change happening so dramatically before their eyes within their own northern regions.
And we should say the other countries in the Arctic Council are the U.S., Iceland, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland. How do they divvy up the Arctic? How is it determined which country owns what part of the Arctic?
Well, none of the land is contested in the Arctic, with the exception of one tiny island between Canada and Greenland, between two very, very close partners. The disputes that exist concern maritime boundaries. And the good news there is that all of the Arctic countries are using what's called the Law of the Sea, a set of customary rules that were later codified in the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. And they're using these rules to delimit, to agree upon maritime boundaries.
How did you get so interested in the Arctic?
I became interested in the Arctic at the age of 3, when my father, who is a natural scientist, returned from a summer of doing scientific research in Canada's high Arctic. And my first memory is of my father walking off a plane, returning from the Arctic with a new and very bushy beard. And that image has stayed with me forever. The beard only stayed for a day or so until my mom got a hold of a razor. but my interest in the Arctic has persisted now for almost half a century.
And the first time you went to the Arctic was?
First time I went was in 2006, when I had the privilege of sailing through the Northwest Passage on Canada's research icebreaker. It was an 11-day trip, and it changed my life.
What do you mean? How did it change your life?
Well, in various ways, including seeing with my own eyes dramatic evidence of climate change. And in the last 9 years, that has motivated me to do what I can.
What did you see? What was it that you saw?
We sailed through the Northwest Passage in late October 2006, which historically would have been impossible because of the presence of thick, hard, multi-year ice through the entire passage. And in the space of 11 days, we saw no ice. That was October 2006. And the ice melt has continued since then. In late summer, early fall, the Northwest Passage is ice-free. And remember, this is a waterway that stymied hundreds of explorers in the 19th century, with the first voyage only occurring in 1906 by a Norwegian who actually took 3 years because he spent two winters stuck in ice.
That's Michael Byers, a professor of global politics at the University of British Columbia and author of the book International Law and the Arctic, talking with us about the Arctic Council. The U.S. has just assumed chairmanship. Michael Byers, thank you for joining us.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.